So welcome everyone, all the listeners to our podcast. This is the new year, 2024, and I'm happy to say we actually just won an award for Best Coffee Podcast at the Spurgy Award, which we're very thankful for. Thank you for voting for us and thank you for listening. Today I'm sitting in the cupping lab of Sea Dorman. It's an exporter located in Nairobi, Kenya, specializing in high quality coffees that they sell to all over the world, and also from Tanzania and Rwanda, I think. And so today I have with me a very long time friend, Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy Kaya, hello.
Hello, Tim. Nice to see you in Nairobi this week.
Thank you. Great. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah. So, Kennedy, maybe you, I have known you for many years, but maybe I don't know too much about your background. So can you please just tell the listeners who you are and what you do?
Yeah. As Tim has mentioned, my name is Kennedy Kaya, a trader at Dorman. And Dorman focuses on high-end specialty coffee. It's business we've been doing for last two decades or about three decades now. And I've been working with the company since 1993. Started in traffic department and moved to quality control, and now sitting on the trading desk heading the trading operation.
Nice. And you take care of clients like us. We come here, we taste, I probably tasted hundreds of coffees this week, and then we select coffees we want to buy, and then you make sure they're actually bought.
Good. And thank you for your support. Of course, without clients like you, we have no place. So thank you for coming, spending time with us, selecting what you want.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Good.
So I'm not sure you have listened to the recent podcast, but I did an episode last year with Morten from Nordic Approach about Kenya and how Kenya is structured, how you can buy coffees here, how the farmers and cooperatives sell coffee. But many people who are into coffee already know that these things have changed in the last year. Can you just briefly summarize how, what the changes are and how it kind of affects the trade?
So the changes have been one company can only play a role in one of the value chains. What it means, if you want to be an exporter, you can only just be exporter. So you get export license. To buy coffee in the auction and export. Or you can choose to be a broker. Broker means you want to represent farmers by bringing their coffee to the auction. Or you choose to be a miller, meaning you get parchment and do milling. So you cannot play more than one role. So that has been the change in the industry. And it's picking up. It's getting orderly as we move on. It started maybe by not being very clear, but now we are seeing some direction in it, and it takes time for some of these things to take shape. And we are optimistic in the end we'll have a very orderly system.
So it sounds like the system is actually exactly the same, except before you had some sister companies who operated as millers and also as marketers. And so now that's not allowed anymore. You have to choose one role and stick with that.
That's it. So things are working exactly the same way they used to be. But now only one player in one of the value chains. And then the payment system now has changed. After the auction, all payments go to one account, which is called direct settlement system. And then from there, the money is distributed back to the growers.
So what's good about the Kenyan system is that actually it's quite transparent, when at least the transaction part of it. So if a coffee is taken to auction, everyone immediately knows when the coffee is sold, which price it fetched. And then that money goes into that account you were talking about.
So it's a very open system. So bidding, everyone can see what lot got what price. And from there, people can know what was the high of the day, what was the low, and who bought, because again, you can see the name of the exporter. So it's a very open, transparent system. And our prayer, if I may say, use that word, is any value gained should reach the farmer. Mm. Let's hope there'll be no money disappearing as it happened many years ago,
yeah,
when we had everything in one pot and money disappeared and farmers were disappointed. So let's hope with this transparency, farmer can get the benefit.
And if I as a roaster wanted to pay more for the coffee than the coffee actually got in the auction, am I able to do that or?
Yes, through the same broker who has brought the coffee,
yeah,
you can give them your price. Mm. If it's high above the auction price, yeah, that money goes to the DSS or the direct assessment system and invoice issued. And of course you pay that high price to the farmer.
Mm.
Yeah, it's allowed.
Okay, so let's just go through the chain then. So if you are a farmer, you produce, you have a small farm, like most Kenyan farmers, they have 1 hectare or less with a little bit of coffee, a little bit of cows, a little bit of grass, some vegetables. And then you harvest your cherry, you sell the cherry to a cooperative, you get a first payment, right?
So that's not happening yet at the moment. And maybe that's something to be looked into, because coffee is harvested around October, November into December.
Yeah.
This coffee comes to the auctions in January up to March.
Mm.
Payments only happen once the coffee has been sold.
Oh, okay.
And these farmers, because the harvest is in different weeks, it means the coffee will be sold not once. So all the proceeds of different sales are put together. They work out an average. Payment happens
at the end.
At the end, maybe in April. So that time lag cannot be very beneficial to the farmer.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs to be worked out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that the farmer gets paid earlier.
They need some access to finance.
Yeah. Yes, basically. They need some money. Mm. And this money is crucial because when they're harvesting in December, that's when there are holidays. They need money for the holidays. And then come January, schools open in Kenya. Farmers need money to take kids to school.
Yeah.
And when they have no money, it means when the money is coming in April, it's of no real use.
Yeah.
And that's something to be addressed, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, once the cherries are delivered to the cooperative, they get processed at the wet mill that is owned by the cooperative.
Yes.
It's dried, it's stored in parchment, and then the cooperative will take the coffee to a mill, I presume?
Yes. So once the parchment is dry, the cooperative chooses the mill they want to use. Right now we are seeing most of the mills being run by county governments.
Mm.
So we have seen Kirinyaga County, they have their own dry mill.
Mm.
We have a new KPCU doing a bulk of the milling from all over the country. And then we have seen Kipkelion County mill and other mills.
Mm.
So right now we have very many mills. And on top of my head now, I can't even know all of them.
No.
But with time, I'll get to know all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the coffee, they take samples of that coffee and then they bring that to the brokers?
Yes. So.
Or straight to the auction or?
So what they do after milling the coffee,
mm-hmm.
they take it to the brokers of their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then this broker will deposit the samples in the central sample room at the Nairobi Coffee Exchange.
Yeah.
A catalog is prepared also. And from that catalog, each exporter goes and picks samples in preparation for the auction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the following week, the actual auction is on online, and then you sit and bid the whole Tuesday.
This week it ended at around 9:30 p.m. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because there were some 27,000 bags to be sold with over 1,000 lots.
Yeah.
And it takes time. So online bidding has also helped. It means we don't have to go and sit in a hall in central Nairobi.
Mm.
So it's good. As long as you have internet, you can bid from wherever you are.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And then once the coffee is sold in the auction, the coffee gets transported to the exporter, right?
So once you buy a lot in the auction, you win a lot in the auction, you pay for the coffee.
Yeah.
You are given warrants to go and pick coffee from the warehouse where it's stored and bring it to your warehouse.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then you are able to offer those coffees to clients.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are able to offer them and you are able to mill or process them to the standard agreed with your client.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to buy direct, I can also do that and not go through the auction. I can still do that, right?
So that's an area we're trying to explore. Not yet clear how that's going to work, because this will now be the farmer selling to the overseas buyer.
Yeah.
So we are still exploring it. At the moment, most of the coffees we are seeing are coming through the auction.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't want to really put my bet on direct until I know how it works exactly.
Yeah. And from what I understand, the farmers are happy to sell it in the auction as long as the price is good.
Auction is a good place for price discovery, because this coffee has gone to many dealers. Mm. If merits are there to pay high price, then it'll be true competition for it. Mm. And this week we saw some record prices, which is good for the farmer.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so the system for me, it's pretty clear that it's actually almost the same, except there are a change of roles and who can do what. And of course, the change happened really fast, so some of the mills that were operating had to shut down. But I think with time, this will kind of smooth out and become a good system.
I think so. And in life, you have to look forward and be positive and improve on whatever you have until it works very well.
Yeah.
So this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
As time moves on, the bad things will come out and the good things will be maintained, because coffee is very important to our economy.
Mm. Yeah. So we can assure the listeners that we will get delicious Kenyan coffee also in the future.
As usual. And you've been here cupping some nice coffees.
Yeah.
Which... I expect to hear some comments when it lands in Europe or in America or wherever.
Yeah.
So we are waiting for that feedback, but we are seeing delicious coffees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on and just briefly talk about why is Kenyan coffee so special, and why is it fetching prices higher than the average coffee around the world, and what makes it so distinct in flavor?
The thing is, Kenya has been growing coffee for many years, since it was brought by the colonialists.
Mm.
I think the Kenya farmer has been perfecting the way they take care of their coffee.
Mm.
That's number one. The processing is very important.
Yeah.
But again, number two is the varieties grown in Kenya.
Yeah.
The soils are very fertile, volcanic soils. The growing altitude is high. Many of the coffee growing regions are above 1500 meters.
Mm.
And the weather is just perfect.
Mm.
All those are contributing to the good quality we are seeing.
Mm.
So it's not, it's just happening. No, it's happening because of so many factors. And overall, the Kenya farmer is very passionate about coffee, doing a good job and producing excellent quality.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you've been in the game for since 1993, you said?
Yes, since
And you've been cupping coffee since then?
Yes.
Do you think the quality is going down, or?
It's an area that has to be taken care of. In 90s, you easily found these syrupy blackcurrant notes in coffee, but now you have to search hard, and it could be related to climate change, as they say, or it could be related to the new varieties coming, because not necessarily are the varieties focused on quality.
Yeah.
More is emphasis on yield. Farmers need more per tree. Emphasis on maybe drought resistance, because if the rains are becoming less and less, and diseases like CBD. So the new varieties could be impacting on the quality we used to see in Kenya.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something to be addressed by the people developing new varieties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this goes a little bit hand in hand. You mentioned climate change. You have hotter weather, stranger rain patterns.
Yeah.
And for that, the trees get more disease. Like, they get leaf rust, which is a fungal disease. The coffee berry disease is also a fungus that really affects the quality. And of course, when a farmer is, if they want to grow the SL varieties that is famous for its quality, they have to spray a lot of fungicides, which is expensive. It's very easy for them to maybe change to Ruiru and Batian that are more tolerant to these kind of diseases, so they have to spray less, which means less money spent on the production. And if they also yield well, then it also means maybe higher production. So I think it goes a little bit hand in hand. And also the agriculture that is done here is not suited for the modern climate. Meaning most of the coffees is grown in full sun, because the SL has a very good root system, so it's quite drought tolerant. But when it's getting hotter, the trees will suffer more and more, I think.
That's right. So there is some need to address quality, because Kenya has had its name because of quality.
Mm.
And if the quality disappears, it means it will be more of a commercial quality,
yeah,
just to be roasted by any big roaster, and disregarding the specialty roasters. But we would need the specialty roasters, because with that, Kenya produces something very special, and that's why Kenya has been known. So we need to preserve it.
I still think, as a small roaster, for me, it's, yeah, maybe it's a little more difficult now to find the best coffees, but we still find them, and they are still very, very good. But maybe, like you say, it was easier to find them before. But we also have to face the fact that the production is going down. And why is that, do you think?
Yeah, production is going down because of a number of factors also. Because coffee was grown near Nairobi, Kiambu area, Thika area, and the city of Nairobi is growing.
Yeah.
So you find all those plantations under coffee, they're disappearing.
Yeah.
And then when you go up the mountain, near the mountain at Kirinyaga, Nyeri, family sizes are growing.
Yeah.
They need land for shelter,
yeah,
and a subdivision of the land, because that's very common in our traditions. Once kids grow, the dad has to split the land. So all that is making coffee disappear. And then we need to do more in terms of motivating farmers.
Yeah.
What I mean is, if farmers feel coffee is paying back, they'll grow coffee.
Yeah.
And there's land to the west of the country, areas like Mount Elgon, Kitale area, Kisii area. All those areas can grow coffee because they have high elevation, they have good rains, land is still plenty in those areas. So there's more motivation needed to be given to the farmers, and naturally they'll just jump on what's there to give them money.
We have to, the fact is that I think the average age of a farmer in Kenya is above 60 years old.
Yes.
So there's not a lot of young people who get into coffee.
Yeah, that's disappointing, because any young person who finishes high school or college, they want to come into the city and get employed in a company, white collar job, as we call them, which are very few. But if coffee can be seen as something that can put money in the pocket or food on the table, then we'll see young people taking up coffee farming as a profession, as a career. And very easily we can see production going up, and that can happen.
So even though Kenyan coffee in general gets a higher price than, for instance, coffee from Colombia or even from Ethiopia, there's still not enough money in it for the farmers to be motivated.
Yes, and it's simply because the farmers are not doing enough on the farm to produce more per tree. So you find that, yes, the price may be high, but when you go back to your yield per tree, it's tiny.
Yeah.
So that money may not make sense, even if the price went up another 10 times. So with the same prices and yield per tree increases threefold or fourfold, these farmers will be happy, because you go to areas you have mentioned, Colombia, Brazil, yield per tree is high. So even with the lower prices, the farmers are still very happy.
Yeah.
And then cost of inputs in Kenya is too high. So you look at what you have spent to produce the coffee and what you're getting. Maybe you think it's not making sense as much as we see the high prices of Kenya.
I think in general, farmers are not very happy all over the world, because the prices have been more or less the same for 50 years. Like if you look at the commodity coffee price in the 1970s, it's basically the same as it is today. So that means with inflation and everything, cost of production is going up, the farmers are making less and less money every day. So, you know, it's not a motivating factor for any farmer, I think, in any country. But I think one of the real challenges here is that the farms are really small. So even if you have, you know, better yields per tree, it's still not a lot of coffee per farmer, because they have like half a hectare of land. Maybe they have 200-300 coffee trees. And I personally have 300 coffee trees in Colombia, and it's not producing a lot of coffee. Certainly not to manage my entire year of income. So I actually believe that the only way forward for canning smallholder farmers is to diversify and and plant other things as well that they can also sell or eat, consume. But we'll see. I mean, the average age is pretty high, and if the young people don't start farming, coffee might disappear.
Yeah, that's a big threat. It's real. Mm. That could happen. But with the motivation coming in, if the sector can be managed well, yes, then farmers will be growing more coffee.
Mm.
And coffee as a cash crop sold in hard currency, which is dollar, there's money in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to get some numbers, I don't know if you know this, but do you know how many kilos of coffee Kenya produced, let's say, in the 90s when you started working?
In the 90s, production was above 80,000 metric tons.
80,000 metric
of
tons.
Green beans. And then it has been going down. In a good year, now we can only manage between 45 to 50,000 metric tons.
Yeah.
That's a big drop.
So it's halved, more or less.
It's like half of what we had in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we have seen in some years below 40,000 metric tons, which is pathetic.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like how you're so direct with what it is. But that means, what do you think for the next 20 years? Will it still continue to go down? Or?
There is hope.
Yeah.
There is hope. With the proper management of the sector,
yeah,
we can see production go up again.
Mm.
So there is hope. And that's the only thing we need, the sector to be well managed and farmers to get more and more into coffee.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice. I know you're in a hurry, so I think we will stop there. I'm also going to talk to Muki, who also works here. She's more taking care of the specialty clients and stuff like that. And you're more the head of trading, I assume, on the top floor here. So I think, and she's from Australia, so I think it would be nice to hear her perspective as well. She's been here, I think, 6 years or something.
She has been around for 3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
This will be her fourth year.
Yeah.
And yeah, she has experience both on the importing and exporting side now. So yeah, it'll be good to hear her view also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kennedy, let's call that a wrap for the conversation. And thank you for having me here. I've spent actually a week here cupping coffees, probably cupped maybe 800 cups or something. I don't know. All different qualities.
Yeah.
Because you do actually sell the lowest quality to the highest quality.
Yeah.
Because there's a market for everything.
There's a market for everything. And in our kind of operation, we cup everything that's in the catalogs because something has to find a buyer somewhere. And
yeah,
we don't want to lose on anything that has value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, thank you, Kennedy, for joining us on the podcast. And maybe next year we can do a longer version where we go a little bit more in depth on Kenyan coffee history, maybe, because I know you know a lot. You've been in the industry for a long time.
I keep on learning, so I can't boast and say I know everything, no.
But when we were sitting in the car yesterday, you started talking about the history of doormans and everything. So that's very interesting. So maybe we can do that next year.
Next time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kennedy.
Thank you.
So to all our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this short episode from Kenya. Kennedy had to leave because he was going to Mombasa. So it was short but sweet. And thank you again for voting for us in the Sprudgy Award. We really appreciate it. It's our second year in a row that we win this award, which is fantastic. And it really motivates me and our team to continue producing more podcast episodes. And if you have any suggestions on episodes you would like us to produce, then feel free to comment on our Instagram, because we are open to for suggestions, as always. I kind of travel around, and when I meet people that I want to talk to, I just ask them if they want to record a podcast. So it's not very well prepared all the time, but I hope you enjoy these spontaneous updates also from the work that I do. And that might teach you a little bit about the coffee. I certainly learned a little bit about how the Kenyan coffee system works after the new change. And I hope that you will also be open-minded and hope that this will be a good thing for Kenya in the future. All right, I'm just talking now. So thank you for listening, and hope to see more listeners coming in the next episode, which will be with Muki Young, who also works for Dormans. Ciao, ciao.